This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. Thank you so much for joining me for part four of our four-part series on becoming a change maker. Yes, I did do these live last week, and I am re-recording them so that they can live on forever here on the podcast. The actual live webinars themselves are up on the blog, but they got really, really long because I stayed on until every question was answered. And I didn't want to edit down without that Q&A and put that on the podcast because I think the Q&A is super important, and that's why they're up on the blog. But I wanted to have this four-part series here on the podcast because these four pillars of change, we need to continue to return to again and again and again. It doesn't matter if you've heard it before, if it's familiar to you. What matters is if you are practicing it. So even if you've listened to this part four on adjustment, listen again for a few reasons. One, why do we tell our children the same thing over and over and over and over and over again? Because repetition is very powerful. Because we are not one and done kinds of people. Maybe in some areas of our lives, but certainly not in most. We have to repeatedly expose ourselves to ideas again and again. This actually came up the other day. I was on a call with one of my 12 Weeks to Transformation clients, and she was sharing with me that sometimes her journal starts to feel redundant. And I said, tell me what you mean by redundant. Of course, I know what the word means, but I wanted her to describe what she was experiencing. And she said, it feels like sometimes I'm writing the same thing day after day. And I asked, why is that wrong? One could argue that that is consistency. We have to begin with, is it working for you? Or have you just checked out, tuned out, it's not new because you've said it before, you've written it before, and therefore it doesn't land. And in that case, it's not the redundancy that is the problem. It is that you are tuned in to novelty and in a pattern of dismissing things that don't feel new and exciting and fresh. And that is the pattern we need to change. So now when you go to your journal and it's the same thing you've written before, go not from the perspective of, yeah, it's another day, this thing again, I need to eat well, but from the perspective of the power that comes from reinforcing the same idea, the power of repetition. When I sit down with my identity journal, there's not a huge variability every single day. In fact, if somebody else were to pick up my identity journal, to them, it would look very similar. Every day, I want to feel proud of myself. Every day, I want to feel good in my body. And what you hear in the background is like the chickens going crazy. Holy moly. Yeah, that's real. What you would see if you were looking at my journal is that I want to feel great every single day. And the things that I can do to feel great are the same day to day. That I want to feel calm and confident and have peace and joy as I go through my days. Where the variability comes in is in the opportunities that exist every day for me to create that. Some days I might be more focused on what I need to do and not do as I go through my work. Other days I might be focused on what I need to do and not do in terms of my food choices. Other days it might be a little bit of that, but also a big heavy emphasis on my personal relationships, whether with my mom or my sister or my boyfriend. The challenge is not when things are familiar to us. It's not like, oh, I've heard this. Why is she doing this? I already listened to the four parts. Instead, this is an opportunity for you to say, I'm not just looking for shiny new things. I look to reinforce concepts where I have an opportunity to become more proficient. That's my little soapbox. That's my little soapbox for the day. We might get to another one, but that's it for now. Not really, though. We're about to talk about adjustment. Before we do, let me remind you why we are doing 7 podcast episodes over 7 days. It is to celebrate the fact that registration is now open for the spring 12 Weeks to Transformation. Our spring group kicks off on Sunday, April 7th, which means registration is only open until Friday, April 5th. After Friday, April 5th, you will not be able to register for the 12 Weeks to Transformation, and we only open up registration a few times a year. So if you are thinking about it, stop waiting. Stop waiting. After April 5th, I know I'm going to be getting emails like, oh, I didn't know. I hadn't heard. I was trying to get my stuff together. The time passed by. Look, here's how this works. Registration closes the night of Friday, April 5th. So when I wake up on Saturday, April 6th, registration is closed because I'm going to take all the final shipments of the identity journals to the post office and we're good and we're done. They go into storage and we are rocking and rolling with the spring group so that everybody has their journal in the mail prior to our kickoff date. We are going to be talking about this fourth and final pillar. Before we do, though, because there are only two more days to register for the 12 Weeks to Transformation, I want to kick off with a couple of the most common concerns, fears, barriers. I emailed this out to folks who are on the wait list, and I want to share it here so everybody's on the same page. So nobody's emailing me next week going, I didn't know, I had this question. Let's just get on the same page, okay? Because we are down to the wire. We kick off Sunday, April 7th. Registration is closing Friday, April 5th. One of the primary fears is that it will be like everything else you've tried before, getting all excited and then drifting and not doing the work and not finishing strong. And that is something that we will tackle together. I used to be a major drifter. I would check out of everything within a matter of days. Maybe I'd make it a couple of weeks. But that familiarity with drifting from my own life and having worked with clients who have been drifters in the past, I've been super deliberate about crafting this 12 Weeks to Transformation in a way that ensures people don't drift. So here are a few of the things we do to minimize drifting. Number one, we reset with a new challenge every single Sunday. So we are shaking off the week behind us, and every Sunday is a new initiative, a new objective, and they build on each other, but still we get that sense of like a clean slate every Sunday with a new challenge. Plus, there are those daily coaching audios you've heard me talk about before. Every single day, 7 days a week, there is a short 1 to 3 minute audio to help you re-engage and reinvest in yourself every morning. And there's even an option to have those daily audios text messaged to you. One of the new things that we're creating for this spring group that I'm really excited about is what I jokingly refer to as the Struggle Hub, but it's not really called the Struggle Hub. Basically, starting on Sunday, April 7th, everybody within the 12 Weeks to Transformation is going to have access to this database of tools broken down by areas of struggle. So you'll know where to go. If you're feeling unmotivated, it's going to be like, click here, I've got something for you. Super frustrated, click here. Feeling like you just don't care, we're going to fix that together. And all I wanted to say there was put your hands in the air if you just don't care, but yeah. Oh, Elizabeth. All right. Plus, we have those weekly live Q&As. And once we get started, we will talk a lot about your part and my part. And one of the tenets of your part is just say when you're struggling. Even if it is as simple as a message to me, Elizabeth, I'm struggling. That's it. That is our starting point, and I will help. And then I put out a video earlier this week about my coaching cards. So as we've talked about these changes to Primal Potential, one of them being bringing on Sarah so that I have more time for the thing I really love, which is coaching and podcasting, so that I'm stepping out of a lot of the administrative stuff so I can do more of that. And we brainstormed some ways that Sarah and I could work together to bring my coaching ability to the next level. And one of those is my coaching cards. So I'll put the link to the video where I show you what I'm talking about in the show notes. Find the show notes over at primalpotential.com/, I think this is 582. I'm going to double check on that really quickly because I would hate to get that wrong. But I'll put the link to that video so you can see exactly what I mean. If you're on the fence, you definitely want to watch this video. Yeah, show notes, primalpotential.com/582. 582. Basically, when you register for the 12 weeks to transformation, what I do is I create a little card with your name on it. And as we get started, there are a couple questions like, why are you here? What do you want to get out of this? And I write those down on your card. And then every time we have an interaction, whether on a live Q&A, in the Facebook group, over email, on one of the discussion forums, I make a note on the card. And then Sarah and I have a standing meeting every single week to go through every single card. And the reason I like this, because I used to have a similar approach, but digitally, and digitally, like on the computer, it didn't allow me to just flip through every single one of my clients the way these physical cards will. And I'm a physical girl, like I like paper journals. All of that. Anyway, we'll go through these cards every single week. And if it's like, okay, Tessa said this was really important and we talked about approaching it this way, where's Tessa at with that? Have we heard from Tessa? Do we need to follow up with Tessa? That's how we'll go through that and make sure that we are in engaged communication in one form or another. And that's going to go a long way towards preventing drifting. And the last thing I'll say about drifting and fear, it's something I said in the Money Mindset podcast episode. Fear is a liar because you are in control. Fear is a liar because you are in control of your effort. You are in control of your commitment. And the past, the way things have been before, does not in any way limit your present or your future. So stop telling the story of the past. The other thing I want to address, and then we're going to get into this conversation about adjustment, is money, 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 money. It's a lot of money. I can't afford it. I've heard that. I get it. And there is no doubt that $14.97 is a lot of money. And I have a few thoughts on that. And honestly, if you are listening to this and thinking, oh my gosh, just get to the show, be open to the fact that the way I'm going to reframe this money scenario and step into a way of expansive thinking might be a really great tool and strategy for you outside of the 12 weeks to transformation. You know what I mean? Like in all messages, there's something that we can learn and grow from. Okay. $14.97. It is a lot of money. First, break it down. What are we talking about? What does that mean? Instead of going to the monster in our head, what does that mean? We're talking about $16 a day for 90 days for coaching, for daily coaching and for tools on tools on tools on tools. $16 a day. You're talking about $16 a day for 90 days, not for the rest of your life, to end the struggle and to elevate the way you think in a way that will accelerate progress in every single area of your life. We're talking about $16 a day for 90 days to have a coach in the helicopter helping you while you are in the maze. I want to challenge you to elevate the way you think about an obstacle, if for no other reason than the practice in elevating the way you think about an obstacle. And one of the ways I do this with money is differentiating between price and value. I wish I had learned that like 20 years ago, but it took me a while. Instead of making a decision just on the price, let's talk about the value. What value do you place on overcoming this struggle? What is that worth to you? What value do you place on having a coach? What is that worth to you? What value do you place on becoming a happier, healthier, wealthier, more confident, more self-controlled version of you? What is that worth to you? One final thought on the financial piece as a way of elevating the way you think about it. One of my own coaches helped me shift my perspective from I can't afford this to how can I afford it? And I think that that is a powerful shift no matter what struggle you are facing. So with the 12 weeks to transformation, yeah, we're talking about $14.97, but you can also do 3 monthly payments. So if you feel like I don't have that first monthly payment, let's break it down really simply. First one would be $525. Well, what do I have? What can I afford? Establish that number and then subtract it from $525, and that is what you need to come up with right now. So let's say, well, I have $400, but not $525. Well, then we're talking about a need to come up with $125 before Friday. Now, if I were in that situation, I would be walking through my kitchen going, are there some kitchen appliances that I can sell? I would be walking through my basement or my attic and saying, is there some furniture that I don't use that I can sell? Are there clothes that I don't wear that I could sell? Or I would be calling my friends and my family and saying, hey, there's something I really want to do and I can't afford it. what's it worth for me to clean your car? What's it worth for me to clean your house? What's it worth for me to babysit your kids? Or whatever it is, there is always a way. I would be cutting back on eating out. I'd be calling the cable company and either getting rid of cable or dialing back my package. I'd be calling my insurance company to get a better rate on home and auto. The point of that is, when we shift from I can't make it work to how can I make it work, we grow. We grow. So all of that to reinforce the fact that registration closes on Friday for our spring 12 weeks to transformation. And what we are doing to celebrate is 7 days, 7 podcasts. And today is part 4 of this Change Maker 4-part series. We talked about awareness, we talked about alignment, we talked about advancement. How can I advance my position? And it is super important that you go back and listen to those episodes if you have not already, because they are the foundation. And as we go through adjustment, keep in mind that we are not listening for what's new to me. We are not listening because we love novelty. We are listening to say, what can I do with this? How can I implement this? How can I practice this? Instead of being people who are just drawn to what is new. If you are somebody who feels like, I'm doing everything right, but nothing seems to work, today is for you. If you feel like you are just spinning your wheels, we talked about this yesterday, today is for you. And especially if you are somebody who's really hesitant to do more, I don't want to go too far. I feel like if I really get strict, then I just set myself up for failure and I rebel. Today is for you. One of the things that differentiates me, I think, when I'm working with my clients is that I refuse to let my clients enroll themselves in those stories. If you're going to email me and tell me this big, long story of the problem in the past, I'm going to say, I want you starring in the solution, my friend. What does that look like? I want you telling yourself a story about what is possible and what you are able and willing to do today to create the change you want in your life. Sometimes we don't even notice when we're enrolling ourselves in these stories of the problem, when we're reinforcing and rehearsing the way things have been. You get what you entertain. You get what you entertain. If you entertain, continue to entertain this story of the problem, this story of the past, this story of what you can't do, what you don't want to do, what didn't work, what hasn't worked, you're going to keep getting that without a doubt. Now, the little caveat here is that doing more, when we talk about adjustment, when we talk about, okay, what can we switch up to accelerate results or to get a different result or to make this work more optimally? Oftentimes, the default is to go to doing more, trying harder, push, push, push for more output. And the analogy that I gave on these webinars the other night was like a garden hose. You can stand there and try to force more output all day long, walk up to the spigot and crank it, put your finger over the face of the hose to try and get it to stream more in a more concentrated way. But look, more output is not the answer if there's something blocking the flow of the water. If there is a kink in the hose, it doesn't matter how much you try to force the output. The output is blocked by something, and the best strategy is to remove the block. To remove the block, and sometimes that block is in our heads. When we talk about adjustment, when we talk about making changes to get more progress, to get different results, the blockage is often defending. I'm eating so much better than I used to. I feel like I'm doing everything right. It's really not that bad. Yesterday, I was on the phone with one of my 12 weeks to transformation clients. And she was talking. First, she said that she thought she had some room for improvement in her weekends. And I said, okay, let's really break that down. What specifically, what is one improvement you think you could make on the weekends? And she said, without missing a beat, she said, oh, food, for sure food. And then as we started talking about it, she started defending. Well, you know, actually, like, it's really not that bad. I mean, it's not really all that different. And I said, okay, well, if you're telling me that it's really not that bad, then what else is there? It's probably alcohol. And I said, okay, well, let's break that down. Let's get specific. Tell me more. And within a matter of seconds, you know, I really don't drink that much. I mean, it's not like I'm, you know, drinking every day on the weekends or drinking stuff. And I said, what's happening here is that your ego came to the party and you're defending. Instead of being open to this idea of adjustment, you are blocking yourself from that because you are letting your ego play the game. That's really not that bad. I mean, I'm doing a lot of things right. This is better than I used to do, and the weight would fall off. I would do less. Now I'm doing so. When you are trying to get results, defending is not welcome at that party. What are you trying to defend? Like, if what you're doing isn't working, then what you're doing isn't working, and the energy you're putting into defending just isn't relevant. The other barrier, and sometimes these go together, sometimes they go separately, is avoiding. The barrier to adjustment is that you're just avoiding the reality. You're avoiding facing the fact that what you've been doing has not produced results. That what you've been doing has kept you in the same place, that you're not getting healthier, that you're not getting wealthier, that you're not getting happier, that you're not getting leaner, whatever the goal is. When you are either defending or avoiding, you're not facing the fact, hey, what I'm doing, whether I think it's amazing or I don't, is not relevant. It's not producing the results that I want. The alternative is two parts. Creating this practice of implementing this pillar of adjustment is two parts. Clarity and consistent assessment. Consistent assessment is not enough. And clarity is not enough. We must have both clarity and consistent assessment. So, with clarity, what is the progress I'm seeking? What is the progress you are seeking? Keep it really simple. Don't go, I want weight loss, but like, I don't want to go too far. Like, I don't want to restrict too much. It's better than I used to do. Leave the story out of it. Clarity with simplicity. What is the progress I want to make? What is the change I want to make? What result do I want to see as an outcome of my effort? What is the progress you are seeking? That is number one. You've got to get clear on that. Number two, how are you going to know if you're seeing that progress? How are you going to know if it's working? Because what a lot of people do is they have the goal, right? I want to lose weight. I want to save money, whatever it is. And then they just do. I just made myself giggle a little on the inside. Do. Anyway, boy, oh boy. I need to get outside and get some fresh air. I'm like a 5-year-old right now. But sometimes what happens is like we know this thing that we want, right? And we do these things and we do these things and we do without ever saying, hold up, is it working? How do I know if it's working? Am I paying attention? Am I evaluating if it's working? So step one is, what is the progress you are seeking? What is the result that you want? Number two, how are you going to know if it's working? And then number three, how and when will you assess? Is it working? So that you don't get lost in these decades of, I'm trying so hard, but I'm never holding my feet to the fire to say, hey, am I getting results? And if I'm not getting results, then get out of the defending, get out of the avoiding, and change something. It is not time to make a case for everything that you're doing right. One of my mantras in my work is that business is not about busyness. Business is not about busyness. Because it would be very easy to just do in my work, to just stay really busy. But that's not what makes a great business. Is it working? What do I want? What is the outcome that I want? And am I making that progress? One of the things that my business coach helped me do is create a dashboard. And what he said to me is, what are the few things that move the needle? The few things that are markers of, yes, I'm moving in the right direction. And then I have a dashboard, and every single Monday, one of the first things I do in my work time is I update the dashboard. And interestingly, the dashboard for me in my business, and this could be different for you and in your life, but one of the things on my dashboard is not dollars. Revenue is not on my dashboard, right? Because my thought is, if I'm doing these other things, that tells me that what I'm getting, because my primary metric in business is impact, not income. So things like, just to give you a little sneak peek inside, one of the things on the dashboard is how many people were on the wait list for the spring 12 weeks to transformation and how many people have registered for the spring 12 weeks to transformation, things like that. How many listeners do I have on the podcast every single week? And you can't exactly see listeners, but you can see downloads. I wish you could see listeners, but anyway, that's a whole nother topic, if not for this show. Anyway, I'm paying attention to those things, and when I see the numbers didn't go up or the numbers went down or the numbers are flat, then I don't just keep staying busy. I get strategic. Okay, what changed? What was the difference between this week that went really well and this week that didn't? What are the tactics? What are the things that I do that seem to make a difference? And what are the things that I can spend my time on that don't really seem to impact these metrics that I'm monitoring? So for example, if your goal is weight loss, then maybe your dashboard, if you actually have one, or if this is something you keep in your journal or keep in your head, I don't recommend in your head because it's really hard to reflect back, but maybe it's not weight on there, but rather how many days in the week were you consistent with the golden rules of carbs and fat loss? And maybe you set a goal that you've only been doing it two or three times, and this week you want to go for six. Or maybe it's about the number of alcoholic drinks you have in a week, and maybe you want to have that down to three or two or whatever that is for you. But it's not about busyness. Progress is not about busyness. It is about impact. What are the things that move the needle, and are you paying attention? What is the result you want? And how will you know if you are getting it? When will you check in? How will you check in? What can you modify to move the needle versus let me just throw more stuff at it and see what sticks? We've got to be strategic instead of being defensive and busy. I'm doing all of these things. I'm doing everything right. I'm trying so hard. The defensiveness has no role in this pillar of adjustment. It is simply, what is the result that I want? How am I going to know if I'm getting it? When am I going to check in? And what can I modify to influence this outcome that I want? And as with all of these things, awareness is the cornerstone. You cannot practice any of these strategies that we've been talking about over the last 3 days without awareness. So you've got to go back to that pillar number one, Changemaker Part One, awareness. What will you do differently now? Remember, this is not about if these concepts are new to you or not, but what will you do differently? Instead of keeping it in the realm of this was interesting, what are you going to do differently? Do you have clarity on what you want? Most of us probably do. Okay, how are you going to measure it? When are you going to measure it? What are the variables that drive results in that area? And how and when will you monitor them? I want to remind you guys one last time today, that registration closes on Friday for the spring 12 weeks to transformation. And you might be wondering like why I'm talking about it so much. And one of the reasons is because there are going to be a bunch of you who email me on April 9th, and you're going to be disappointed that you missed the entire spring session. And there is an opportunity for you to transform your life. I had a call with a client the other day, and I shared part of her testimonial on a podcast a couple weeks ago. And she said, "You saved my family. I came to you for weight loss and you saved my marriage. You saved my family. I've never been so happy." And that's not an isolated incident. My clients come to me and say, "I never thought that we could turn our finances around in such a dramatic way." Or, "I never thought that I could get past this obsession with food and weight loss, that I could end this yo-yo, but I did." And so I become passionate about setting people free from the struggle. I always have been, I always will be, and I am proud to invite you to that experience within the 12 weeks to transformation. And I am thrilled if my repeating it again and again and again finally breaks through your fears, because you're worth it. And this works. And I know the kind of investment I make in my clients, and I want to invite you into that. If you want to register, you can go to the show notes page for today's episode, primalpotential.com/582. I'll make sure that all the information about the 12 weeks to transformation, as well as the link to register, is over there. But registration does close on Friday, April 5th. And I really hope I get the opportunity to work with you. Whether I do or whether I don't, I hope you make today amazing. Every single choice is a chance. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.